This is Friend of the Family, created by C. Paris, and is a Strange and Unusual production. Please visit our website at strangeandunusual.com. That's strangeunusual.com. Thank you.
Greetings, dear listeners. Welcome back to Friend of the Family, the show that brings you horror, humor, and adventure wrapped in a neat little package. No doubt you are all anxious to hear about the next riveting adventure of Alice, the current hunter of all things supernatural, and her servant vampire who...
Oh, not this routine again.
Asmodeus, a thorn in both Alice's side and mine. Together they protect humanity from things it cannot know or conceive of.
Like what, precisely? You being quiet for once?
Or even more unbelievably, it could be you allowing me to set the tone for once! I apologize, listeners, that was not entirely professional of me. Today we come upon our heroes.
Phrasing!
Today we join our heroes as they are assigned their latest assignment by Lawrence Belford, current financial head of the Belford family. He has just revealed his task for them, infiltrating a high school where mysterious happenings are affecting the student population.
Because high school worked out so well before.
And whose fault is that? I did my job. You're the one that let Laurel and that guy die.
I did, but the tragedy I was referring to was that no cheerleaders were pleasured by yours truly.
I don't even have the energy. So, what's going on this time, Uncle Lawrence?
Some similarities to your last high school encounter. Some students have disappeared and...
It's really fun when they reappear.
A few have, actually. The major difference is that when they are found, they are corpses. Regular corpses, not the shambling kind. So far, every body recovered has shown signs of extreme exsanguination.
That means they were drained of blood.
I know what it means! So, are we thinking it's a vampire?
If not several, the number of students taken is alarming.
Finally, my dreams are coming true. I get to kill the one thing I really want. Well, the next best thing, anyway.
Charming. So, where are we heading, Lawrence?
A small town just outside of Seattle. Should only take you a couple of days to drive there. If you get started soon, you could be there bright and early for class Monday morning. Won't that be nice?
So, where will we be staying along the way?
You can't just both sleep in the van?
No!
Ah, well, I suppose you can stop somewhere along the way. As long as it's under $50 a night.
What a tight, cheap ass.
Pardon?
Nothing, Uncle Lawrence. We'll get right on it.
Right. Oh, and Alice, you were a little imprudent the last time you went to high school. I understand you were still learning the ropes, as it were. But at this point in your career, I expect a little more judiciousness, yes? No ordering 2 crates of consecrated shotgun shells that are currently just sitting in storage.
We'll use them eventually. But no, Uncle Lawrence, I promise.
Good girl.
Taking the file folder with the mission details, Alice left to go pack some things, and Asmodeus just left. Lawrence looked out after them.
Remember, Alice, discretion!
As Alice pulls into the parking lot of their destination, we find ourselves at Patterson High School, your typical public education center, where thousands of students pour in and out to absorb knowledge in their sponge-like minds. I can't help but feel like I've made this speech before.
You have, or something very near it.
What? Are you talking to that guy again? Is he saying anything important?
Not particularly. Apparently high school is full of students, the wonder of it all.
I hate you with every fiber of my being.
Well, is there anything important in the file Uncle Lawrence gave us?
Not really. Looks like at least 10 students went missing with 7 bodies discovered, all in 1 month. Someone has been a busy bee, and I can see why a vampire would be drawn to this location.
Why's that?
The vampire gestured out the window at the overcast sky.
Do you see any sun? My understanding is that it is generally pretty gloomy here. Perfect hunting grounds. Perhaps I could convince Marjorie to move the family out here.
Oh, that's all you need. Less obstacles to be a pest.
Yes, my point.
Ugh, so let's go ahead and start investigating. I want this to be a quick mission. In and out so that Uncle Lawrence has nothing to complain about.
Aw, do you not want to pick up another couple of little friends?
After last time, let's just find the vampire, stab it, and get going.
Alas, it was not meant to be, dear listeners. While the high school was not overly far from Seattle, it was still in a small town. And as anyone from a small town knows, new people tend to attract a lot of attention. As Alice and Asmodeus exited the van, they are soon approached, dare I say, mobbed, by two students.
Hey there, you must be new. I'm Mac.
And I'm Lauren. Welcome to Patterson.
Hi.
Oh goody, this again.
So where are you guys from?
Iowa.
Carpathia.
That's so exotic.
Yes, well, you know, Europe...
I mean, I've always wanted to go to Des Moines.
Pardon?
Yeah, and all that corn? Super neat.
You're kidding, right? This cannot actually be happening.
Yeah, neat. Listen, for your own safety, I'm gonna have to ask you to leave us alone.
That's so funny. New girl is funny.
She sure is.
I'm just gonna go now.
Thankfully, as the words left Alice's lips, the school bell rang, releasing her from her awkward teenage conversation. Unfortunately for Alice, that means she had to go to class. She found herself having to make introductions during her first period, biology. For some reason, the cover story Lawrence provided them had Asmodeus on a different schedule.
Okay, class, we have a new student joining us today. Please welcome Alice Belford, who came all the way from Iowa.
Ooh!
It's not really that big of a deal.
So, Alice, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, my name is Alice. I'm from Iowa. That's about it, I guess.
What about that guy you came with?
That's my brother.
Didn't he say he was from Carpathia or something?
Foster brother.
Alrighty then. Alice, why don't you have a seat? It looks like the only open spot is by Teddy over there.
Sure enough, every seat was occupied, save for a lone empty chair by a student in the back right corner. He was pale, gaunt, and stared at Alice in a way that made her uncomfortable. However, she saw no choice but to sit down next to him.
Hey.
Hi.
They stared at each other uncomfortably for a moment, as Ms. Calhoun went around the room handing out today's worksheets. Unfortunately, it was a partnered assignment. After being handed her paper, Alice began to read over the assignment, something about cell stages, when the hairs on her neck began to stand on end. She looked up and found the boy still staring at her.
Can I help you?
Oh. Sorry, was I staring?
Yeah, you kind of are.
I've just never seen someone like you in town before.
Okay.
I've just never seen anyone like you before in this town.
Yes, you said that.
Has anyone ever, like, told you that your face is, like, your face is beautiful?
No one's ever put it like that, but thank you.
You're welcome. I'm not trying to come on too strong here, but, like, I feel a connection here, and I want to give it a voice.
Yeah, I really don't know how to react to that.
Alice faced away from the awkward lab partner.
I'm sorry. I know I can't be making a good impression here, but, like... I think there's something special about you, and I kinda just wanted you to know that, okay?
You're staring. Again.
The truth of the matter is, Alice was finding it hard not to stare at him as well. She actually knew what struck her about him the instant she saw him, like a lightning bolt running through her body. She wasn't sure she could act on it with all these people around, but he kept looking at her.
You're still staring.
Okay, the truth is that I'm a
Listen, creature. I know what you are.
Then say it.
You reek of blood and give off no body heat. You're obviously a vampire.
Well, yeah,
But I know why you're here.
Then say it.
You're here because of all the missing and dead students. You know what I am, and you came to the school after the last three bodies were found. You're obviously a monster hunter, but I swear, I'm not the one responsible for all the killings. In fact, I came here for the same reasons you did.
Really?
Check the school records. I only enrolled after the killing started. I'm a good vampire. I only eat animal blood. I'm vegetarian.
Vegetarian?
That's not what that word means.
Listen, I know you have no reason to trust me, but I feel like we're kindred spirits, you and I. I'm gonna talk to Miss Calhoun after class to see if I can learn anything. I'll meet up with you after school, behind the gym, to tell you about what I learned. Or maybe you can stake me there, but I hope not.
As Ted leaned down to kiss Alice's hand, the dismissal bell rang, releasing students from class. As everyone filed out of the classroom, Alice turned back to look at Ted one last time. There was something about him that made her feel like she couldn't just kill him. Something that made her want to spare him. As she left the classroom, she found Asmodeus leaning on a nearby wall, peering in the door.
Dare I ask if you've discovered anything relevant to the case?
The cheerleaders here are not near as limber as the ones at the last school. Besides, the vampire's right over there.
Yeah, Ted, I know.
You were on a first-name basis? Why have you not stabbed him and gotten it over with?
I couldn't just kill him in a classroom full of people.
Would have been quick.
But not discreet. Besides, I'm not sure that he's responsible.
Not He's a vampire! Draining humans of their blood is what we do!
It's true, listeners. While there are always tales of good monsters...
Bullshit.
Vampires tend to be solipsistic killing machines. Save those foolish enough to make sacred vows to mortals.
No one asked your opinion.
Oh, sorry. Are we interrupting something?
What do you two want?
Oh, actually, we wanted to talk to Alice.
Yeah, we couldn't help but notice you were talking to Ted Collins. He's so mysterious.
Yeah, so when did he start coming here?
Oh, he's only been here a couple of weeks, but he doesn't talk to anybody. You must be special.
He's not that great.
I see. So definitely after Carol Madison's disappearance a month ago and the subsequent discovery of her body 9 days later?
Yes? Anyway, Alice, I wanted to ask you, if you aren't busy later...
Thank you both. You've been very helpful. Now, please go away. I don't want to have your deaths on my hands. Asmodeus, meet me behind the gym after school. Do not go after Ted. I still have questions I want to ask him. Gotta go. I don't want to be late for algebra.
And with that, Alice went off to her next class and Asmodeus left to, no doubt, perv on teenage girls once more. Mac and Lauren stared at them in amazement.
Wow, the new girl is so edgy.
I know, and hinting that continuing to be in her presence will only put my life in danger has only made me desire her more.
I know.
We experience a lot of horror on this show, folks. But somehow that conversation is one of the things that strikes me as the most disturbing. As the long school day passed, we rejoin our protagonists at 4 behind the school's gym. Asmodeus taps his foot impatiently.
So now we are meeting this vampire out back behind the school, and we are not killing him on sight. Why?
Because the timeline doesn't fit. I double-checked the school's records, and Lauren was right. The murders had been going on for about 2 weeks before he ever enrolled.
All that proves is that he wasn't taking classes. He could have still been in town.
All right, but Uncle Lawrence mentioned that this is probably the work of more than one vampire, so maybe it was other vampires entirely. Besides, he said he doesn't eat people.
Oh, well, there you have it. It's not as though vampires can lie. Oh, wait, yes, we totally can. Wait, do you like this guy?
What? No, it's just that he's so...
dreamy?
Pathetic.
Fair point, actually. Honestly, what kind of vampire attends a high school anyway? Imagine spending your unlife forever taking economics.
Says the vampire who spends every moment in a high school trying to bang students.
It is a nice enough place to visit, but I wouldn't want to live here.
Who's this?
While Alice and Asmodeus were sniping with each other, Ted Collins had come up behind them. He was glaring at Asmodeus, his nostrils flaring.
Ted, this is Asmodeus. He's my hunting partner.
So you aren't together?
That is getting to be an extremely tiresome reaction.
Listen, Ted, did you find anything?
What is there to find? There are exsanguinated bodies and a vampire is standing right in front of you.
Two vampires, technically, and one is much less annoying than the other.
Perhaps Asmodeus has a point. Perhaps I am responsible, in a way.
What way? The way that you bit down into their jugulars and sucked out their blood?
I don't eat humans. I made a promise to myself not 200 years ago. But as long as I have been a vampire, tragedy has had a way of following me. No matter what I do or where I go, suffering seems to surround me.
As Ted spoke, the clouds in the sky parted for a moment, and sunlight poured down into the clearing behind the gym. Asmodeus winced in pain, but Ted merely closed his eyes. Alice stared at him curiously as 1,000 tiny sparkles danced in the sun.
Don't look at me! I'm a monster.
Is that...
It's body glitter. He's covered himself in body glitter.
After Asmodeus' declaration, the clouds were once more blocked by the sun. Ted looked a bit sheepish.
I feel like we got a bit off track. Ted, you were saying you found something?
Yes. I was about to tell you before your companion threw me off. When I first began investigating these killings...
Asmodeus!
I thought it may have been the doing of some shapeshifters. There is a local Native American tribe, the Duwamish, who are said to use ancient Indian magic to transform themselves.
Well, now that's just racist.
Asmodeus, he is trying to help us with our investigation. But yeah, Ted, that was pretty racist.
And I should ignore the fact that he smells of blood. Human blood.
Alice, that's what I was trying to tell you. After I stayed to talk to Miss Calhoun, she actually thought she knew who was responsible.
So why didn't she just go to the police?
Because she knew they weren't human. I had to reveal myself to her. But then we were attacked by a gang of rogue vampires, the ones responsible for the killings. I think one of them was Mexican. Alice, I'm sure you've noticed that most vampires are awful, loathsome creatures.
I had picked up on that, yes.
Oh, come on! That is the fakest story I have ever heard!
It's true. There were three of them. One I could have held off, probably even two. But with three... Alice, there was nothing I could do for her.
And how, pray tell, did you get away from all these nasty vampires?
I had to turn into a bat and fly off. Once they started their feeding frenzy, they had little interest in me.
Turned into a bat... Like that's a thing.
Yeah. I read about vampiric transformation abilities in the archives at home. Bats, wolves, etc. Wait, you've never transformed into anything, have you?
He might not know how. It's pretty common if a vampire sire dies early that his protege has stunted abilities.
I do not have stunted abilities. The annals are wrong, and this guy is a fraud, and you are ugly!
In response... Ted poofed into the form of a bat, managing to stare at Asmodeus judgingly as he fluttered in the air. With an anguished scream of frustration, the pouty Asmodeus stomped off into the afternoon, and Alice felt no compunction to go after him. This left her alone with Ted, who changed back into his human form. Longtime listeners will know that I usually take a special pleasure in Asmodeus's suffering, but I cannot bring myself to do it this episode. This Ted guy just bothers me. And while Alice is still hesitant to kill him, she is still unsure of him.
You aren't dating the big, fat, stupid voice, are you?
I can't even hear him. Also, not relevant.
I apologize. That was a bit uncalled for.
No, it's fine. Asmodeus is an asshole. So, why don't we start with you giving a description of the vampires who attacked you and Ms. Calhoun?
Don't worry about them. I can take them down myself, now that they won't catch me off guard.
I think it would make more sense for both of us to go after them.
But Alice, I wouldn't be able to concentrate knowing you were in danger. I don't know what I would do if anything were to happen to you.
Nothing's going to happen to me. I'm a trained hunter.
I just feel very protective of you.
Please don't.
I know we only just met, but I need you like most people need air.
That's... flattering.
If there were just some way I could stay by your side.
Well, I suppose you could always swear a sacred vow to my family. Hey, you could be my vampire companion instead of Asmodeus.
I would do anything to protect you, but first I must take care of this case. I made another promise to myself that I would do nothing before I brought these animals to justice.
Right. So, let's meet back up tomorrow morning to get a plan in place. Since the vampire's just fed, with any luck, there won't be any more attacks tonight.
Sounds like a plan. I will see you tomorrow, Alice.
Once more, Ted reached down to kiss Alice's hand, but she waved him off. Pondering the idea of having Ted as her vampiric partner instead of Asmodeus. Almost anything would be better than having to work with Asmodeus. But there was something about Ted that was off that bothered her.
Ted is a lying liar, and I knew it.
Ah! Asmodeus, what are you still doing here? I thought you left to go back to the hotel.
No, I actually went to City Hall to look up who is new in town. Glitter Boy may have only just enrolled in the school, but he bought a house over a month and a half ago. No doubt staking out the high school before descending on it like a smorgasbord.
You did research?
I had a point to prove.
But so many people in 1 month, why?
My guess? He's a glutton.
Suddenly there was a loud scream from one of the nearby classrooms. Alice's heart sank.
Ah, my case in point.
The two of them dashed to the classroom to discover what they both already expected. As Asmodeus burst the door open, Alice looked on in horror as Ted held a limp Mac in his arms, the teenager's neck at an odd angle. Ted turned to them, wide-eyed, and dropped his prey. Mac's body hit the ground with a sickening thud.
Okay, now I definitely get to kill him.
Asmodeus, I command you to stay back. I can handle this. Ted! I fucking trusted you!
Alice, I didn't have a choice. He was trying to date you. I heard him ask you out outside of class.
Of course you had a choice! You could have just not killed him!
No, wait. Alice, please understand. I never felt this way about anyone. The way I feel about you. I just wanted to protect what's mine.
I'm not anyone's property.
No, I didn't mean it like that. You just make me feel. I just want to be around you. And watch you sleep.
That is super gross.
Yeah, even I find that creepy.
Shut up. And Ted, you have killed a dozen people that I know about. I'm the hunter, protector of the innocent. I'm just supposed to overlook that?
If it helps, I bet Miss Calhoun was not all that innocent.
Not helping.
Not my job.
Okay, I may have done some bad things. All right, terrible things. Maybe I have stared into a lost soul and have seen the terror on their face as they slip into nothingness. And maybe that terror did excite me. But I can change for you.
Yeah, no.
And with that, Alice pulls out the stake that was hidden in her sleeve and in one swift motion thrust it into Ted Collins' chest. Then fluidly pulled the stake in and out again for good measure. He gasped in pain and shock. As the light faded from his eyes, he held his chest, struggling to get out a few last words.
You bitch.
Then fell to the ground, motionless. Alice stared at his remains, expressionlessly.
Well, was it everything you hoped for?
Not as much fun as killing you would have been. Still, that's one less vampire in the world, and the students are safe. What's left of them, anyway. Overall, I did a pretty good job.
He appears to have left his glitter body spray all over your steak.
Son of a...
I will give you this, Alice. That was a good kill.
Thanks.
But, you know, I was correct about him being the killer. This can only mean one thing.
Oh, God, no.
I told you so, but you were too dumb to listen. I told you so, I really don't like you at all.
And so Asmodeus continued, accompanying the song with what I have to admit are rather elaborate dance moves. As Asmodeus's voice fades off into the evening, we draw a close on another tale of Friend of the Family, where I am sure at some point, our heroes will someday succeed at lowering the body count. Maybe even the next episode. The only way to find out is to stay tuned. Until next time, dear listeners. Knew I didn't like that guy.
Hey, Thanks for listening to the Strange and Unusual podcast, friend of the family. We would really like it if you could, like, favorite us on iTunes and subscribe, write a review. Also, check out our website at Strange, the letter N, unusual.com, and on Facebook. Thank you. Your face is, like, beautiful.
This is Friend of the Family, created by C. Paris, and is a Strange and Unusual production. Please visit our website at strangeandunusual.com. That's strangeunusual.com. Thank you.